John chapter 1. We're going to be in verses 19 through 34. If you haven't been with us, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit and. In the last 2 weeks, we covered Holy Spirit and prayer and the Holy Spirit and personal evangelism. Today, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit and water baptism. And then next week, we're going to be talking about the Spirit baptism. And so that's where we're going today. It's the Holy Spirit and. And all this is online. If you want to listen to the audio and download all the slides are always online for you. And they're archived. And so they're all right there for you to listen or share or listen to once again. But let's dive in here. In 2020, there was 4.8 million identity thefts and fraud cases that was reported to the Federal Trade Commission. 4.8 million. That would be more than, I think it's more than the population of Iowa, people that experience identity theft or fraud. And so I want to ask us here, how many of you have ever been a victim of identity theft? Anybody in here or had something? I don't know. Okay, all right. But the question I want to lead us to, identity theft, you hear that in the news, you hear that on Dave Ramsey, make sure you're protected, use LifeLock, make sure all your passwords and digital things are protected. But what I don't hear us a lot of times asking the churches, have you ever experienced identity drift? Have you in your own life, you ever experienced identity drift? I've been there. Yeah, I say I'm a man, I'm married, I'm a Christ follower, but you wake up some days and you're like, well, who am I? What is my identity? Man, I see a lot of stuff out here in the newspapers, online, social media, my boss, my coworkers are saying this is who you should be and that. I'm reading some book from the library, I'm reading the newspaper, and boy, it seems like our identities maybe at times can drift. Or you go through seasons of life and you hit hard times in life and storms, and you think, Well, who am I? Whose am I? What? Maybe not. Maybe what am I? What am I doing here on earth? Have you ever been there or thought that? It's easier maybe when you have a lot of young kids and you don't get a lot of sleep. I think sometimes I remember those conversations in my mind came up a lot of times when you were sleep deprived and you're like, whew, Jesus, another day. And the babies didn't sleep at night. But I want to talk to us today about identity theft. Identity drift. But we'll talk about identity theft. But identity drift in Jesus. And how does water baptism confirm our identity? Right now in our culture, identity is a core human issue right now. If you look at it in our media, it's, what's your identity? What's your identity? Who are you? What type of sexual identity are you? But who are you? Are you a white American Christian that lives in Sioux City or Midwest Christian? You name it. There's all these adjectives that are used to define, quote, our identities. Identity is a core thing in our human experience. Identity is defined as the fact of being who you are or knowing what you are. It's a characteristic that determines a person or a thing. And it comes from the Latin item, which means same. And so I want to highlight for us today that the Holy Spirit is in every facet of our spiritual life, especially our identity. As sons and daughters of the King, the Holy Spirit gives us an identity. Too often I'm seeing in the younger generation of the church that people are just picking up any identity. Well, I'm a this Christian. Well, no, you're a son or daughter of the King. The Holy Spirit, which we're going to talk with here and see in Scripture, gives us and tells us what is our identity. But I want to remind us here, Paul writes in Ephesians, start off here, in Ephesians 1, 13 through 14, he says, in him you also, meaning he's talking to the Ephesians about in Christ, he's talking about, hey, you believe in Christ. When you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. In the beginning of our identity, our first steps with Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes in and solidifies what is our identity. He's the deposit. He's the seal. Some of your translations say he's the seal of redemption or the deposit of our redemption. So the Holy Spirit is in the beginning and in every facet of our identity in Christ. He's there to remind us of who we are and whose we are. That we are the sons and daughters of the King here. And as we journey here today in our scripture, we're going to be just talking about identity here with John the Baptist and Jesus and ourselves. But before we read our text here, John 1, 19 through 34, I just want to remind us a couple of things about water baptism. Just three things I want to remind us. As first is this. Turn with me to 1 Peter 3:21. Turn with me. It won't be on your screen, so you're going to have to use your Bible app or turn in the pages here of your Bible. 1 Peter 3:21, it's this, that we realize more fully the cleansing work of Jesus. 1 Peter 3:21, Peter writes, he says, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience. Water baptism, in the symbolic act, which we know it is, it's an appeal to God saying, God, I know that this water doesn't necessarily cleanse me of sin. I know this water doesn't necessarily remove me of the dirt on my body, but I'm appealing to you, Jesus. I want to be like you. I want to symbolize that you died and you were buried and you rose again. And I want to die to my old ways. I want to come to new life in you. And Peter's just saying that this gives us an awareness. Baptism gives us an awareness of the cleansing work of Jesus. Number two, Matthew 28:19 says, we obey the command of Jesus. What does water baptism, what does it help us do? It helps us obey the command of Jesus. If you look over in Matthew 28:19 here, and once again, you can turn there, but I'll just read it here. This is the famous commands of Jesus to go out and baptize. And he says here in verse 19, he says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Water baptism helps us remember the commands of Jesus and remember that we are to obey the commands of Jesus. This wasn't an option. And number three, before we dive into our main scripture, is this. Romans 6, turn with me to Romans 6, verses 3 through 5. And that with water baptism, it helps us that we identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Paul writes here to the Church of Rome, he says in verse 3, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus will be baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, or his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Man, that's good. That's good. Say amen. We could just stop right there on that one. But baptism helps us identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. All right, so turn with me to John chapter 1. Let's read our main text for the day as we talk about water baptism. Water baptism and our identity in that. John chapter 1, verses 19 through 34. Let's read here. And it says, and this is a testimony of John when the Jews sent spies and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed, and he did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. So they said to him, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one who you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan while John was baptizing. Verse 29, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and I have borne witness that this is the Son of God. Turn with me over to Matthew, our second verse, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. These are our two verses, main text for the day here. Matthew 28. Let me get there myself here. Verses 18 through 20. And it reads, and Jesus came and he said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Let's pray, church. Jesus, we ask you in these next few moments to illuminate your word. We pray that your word would be alive inside of our hearts and minds. And may, Jesus, may we believe your commands. And may, more importantly, may we be a doer of your commands. And may we go out and baptize all those who come in faith in you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. And amen. The Holy Spirit, today our theme is this. The Holy Spirit confirms our identity in Christ in many ways, including water baptism. And that's our theme for the day. The Holy Spirit confirms our identity through water baptism. First of all, let's look at John's identity. John the Baptist's identity. Look at John 1:22 here. So they said to them, the Pharisees said to him, and the priests, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John could have said a lot of things about himself in this moment. He could have been like, "Yes, I'm the Christ. I am he. I'm the man. I'm the person." But he didn't say that. The Pharisees were questioning John's authority to baptize. Here in verse 19 and 25, we see this. At this point in the history of Israel, the only time there was water baptism was when the Gentiles, when a Gentile wanted to convert to Judaism, wanted to become like the Jewish people and follow all the rules of Torah and all the dietary commands and stuff like that. But to ask a Jewish person to be completely submerged was somewhat of an insult. The priests and people, there was ceremonial washing before they went to the temple. They'd wash some of their feet and their hands. But to ask for the full immersion would have been somewhat humiliating, would have been like, it would have been comparing the Jews, the Jewish people were as guilty as the pagans and their lifestyles. And of course, the Jewish people were like, "No, we are the remnant of God the Father. We're the true ones. We have some sin, but we're not totally sinful like those pagans out there. They're horrible." But John was asking everyone to be baptized and to repent. John responds here with three negatives. He's not the Messiah. He's not Elijah, and not the prophet. He knew who he was not. And isn't it amazing how John wasn't confused in his identity? He knew that he was a child of God. He knew that God had sent him. But he wasn't confused. He knew his role, and he knew his lane to stay in. John responded, as the story tells us right here, that he was just a voice crying out in the wilderness. Right? A wilderness, a place of loneliness, a place of danger, times of confusion. But John was here announcing that the Messiah was coming. John went on to further show the people that this baptism he was talking about was a baptism of humility, a baptism of preparation, that to prepare themselves to accept their new identities, that the Messiah was coming, and that they would be redeemed here. John wasn't pompous. He wasn't arrogant. He wasn't responding with, "You don't know who I am." John responded with humility and a very gracious attitude, saying, "No, I'm not even worthy of the one who's coming to untie his sandals." We know that in Hebrew culture and even Roman culture, the slaves were the ones that would take care of the footwear and wash the feet, even in the Hebrew culture. And John was saying, "I'm not even worthy. I know my identity. God has told me who I am, and I know that Jesus is coming." In Romans 12:3, Paul reminds us of this about tying with John. Is about John knew his place, and he knew to be humble. Paul writes, he says, "For by grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned you." And remind us in our identity in the Holy Spirit that we must think of ourselves with sober judgment. We must not think that we are above Jesus or we're better than other people, that we've all had experience the death and burial and resurrection of our own life. We've all had to die to our flesh and let Jesus bury that and give us new life. And that we must remind ourselves to have sober judgment, just like John did, that, man, Jesus is way above us, that he is holy and splendid, beyond anything we can imagine. And John was giving us a part of our identity, showing us that, man, that we need to remember where is our place, that we are beneath God the Father and Jesus the Son, and that we need the Spirit to remind us of that. Secondly, Jesus' identity. Look at John 1:29. And he says this. John says, "The next day John, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" This Lamb of God reference, by this time in Israel's history, at the Passover celebration, the Israelites knew that the lamb they were eating at the dinner symbolized that the future, that this future Messiah would come and save them. They recognized that this Passover lamb was a symbolic of the Exodus and the sin offering required by the law of Moses. But look at the usage of the article, "the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." John here is announcing to the people that were there. We don't know how many were there. Was there 10, 20? Was there a crowd of 1,000? We don't know. John was announcing Jesus' identity. He was declaring with his mouth that this was the final lamb of sacrifice who was going to do something beyond anything that we could think or imagine. John was telling the people, here's the identity of Jesus. John attests here in verse 30. Let's keep reading this. He says, "This is the he of whom I said, after me comes a man whose ranks before me because he was before me." Man, that is eloquent and so poetic by the Spirit. John was saying, man, this guy's above my pay grade, about 1,000,000 light years, and I'm way down here. Man, this guy was before me, before all things, and he is the Lamb. John admits in verse 31 that even though he was his cousin, he didn't know that he was going to be the Messiah until the Spirit descended. Look at this here. The Holy Spirit descended. The Spirit has a role in water baptism. The Spirit descended as Jesus came out of the water and rested on him. And John says here, he looks here and tests here in verses 33 and 34 that God told him that whoever the Spirit would land on, descend on, that this was the Messiah, the Lamb. The Spirit had a part in water baptism, in confirming Jesus' identity. Now, yes, Jesus could have just came and been like, hey, I am he, I'm the man, I'm the Messiah. But man, we serve a God who is creative, who is poetic, who is majestic, who works in 1,000,000 different ways to confirm his plans and in us and his purposes. And God could have just been spoken or just, you know, done something different, but he used a symbol of the Spirit coming down, landing on the Son to confirm his identity and to show all those around that the Spirit was real and active and alive and confirming that Jesus was the Messiah. And so I want to ask us, how often do we need the Holy Spirit to reconfirm our identities as sons and daughters of the King? How often do we need the Spirit to come in to help us not to drift in our identities? Do you get up every day and some of you, man, I know you in this room, man, I would call you super saints. I mean, you know Jesus, you're in tune with the Spirit. And I think, well, man, they probably never question, man, does God love me? Man, what's this life about? You ever been there? But church, I pray that when you get up in the mornings and when you get up, ask the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, come again. Fill me again. Confirm in me. Make that seal real again. Make that guarantee that I am a blood-bought daughter or son of the King and that you feel me and you baptize me. Confirm my identity again through the power of you, Holy Spirit. Too often in the church, we're seeing now that we're drifting from our identity. We're drifting to certain philosophies, educational philosophies. We're drifting to, well, hey, this is how you run a church. This is what it means to be a Christian. This guy wrote a book. This pastor wrote a book. And we're getting away from the book and the power of the presence and the identity of the Spirit, where the Spirit gives us identity. And I want to remind us, encourage you, that the Spirit wants to confirm in you every day your identity as a son or daughter of the King. But the Spirit wants to come. And he's not going to come on a dove on you. Maybe he will. Who knows? But the Spirit wants to come in you and fill you with that peace and the joy and the fruit of the Spirit and confirm that you are redeemed and you do have a hope and a future. Lastly here, our identity. Turn with me to Matthew 28 here. Turn with me back over to Matthew 28. Let me get there myself here. Our identity. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus, familiar passage we've heard many times in church. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Church, that's our marching orders. Jesus here gives us some very specific commands that determines our identity. Now we are, yes, we are, the Holy Spirit gives us an identity that we are sons and daughters of the King. But then what is our commands? What does Jesus give us as our identity from him? Secondly, is that we are to go out and make disciples. Are we going out as a church and are we making disciples and are we baptizing them and introducing them to the Holy Spirit? Just like the apostles did in Acts, they would go and preach, people would repent and believe, get baptized, and then it says in Scripture in Acts that they would pray that they would be to receive the Holy Spirit. And yesterday was a beautiful thing, John, when you did that with Kelly. Kelly was baptized, and then they had the people there pray over her to receive the Spirit, receive the baptism of the Spirit, and just receive a newness of the Holy Spirit. Right, we know the Spirit is with us at salvation because only the Spirit draws us. But then there is that filling, that baptism of the Spirit that Jesus promised us. And Jesus here reminds us that we are to go out in these identities. I want to show you a few identities from the scripture. We'll back up a couple of verses and include verses 16. But in this small little portion of scripture, God the Son, Jesus gives us our Christian identity. First, that we're authorized ones. Look at verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went into Galilee, into the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. Jesus directed his disciples, said, hey, go wait for me here and you're going to get your assignments. Jesus authorizes us to go out on his behalf and preach the word, baptize people, go out and spread my word. In verse 19, our identity is we're disciples, but we're also disciple makers. In verse 19 here, yes, we are disciples of the King, and we follow him, but he calls us to go out. In another one, 19, we're baptized ones. We've all been baptized. That's part of our identity. We've been baptized into Jesus' death, burial, and his resurrection, and new life. So we're the baptized ones. Verse 19, again, you can say we're recognizers of the triune God. Jesus himself gives credence to the Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that's part of our identity. We can recognize the triune God. And in verse 20 here, is that we're obeyers. Our identity is that we're obeyers and we're never alone. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We're called to obey God's commands and go out and encourage and compel others to obey God's commands. And then we are never alone. Our identity is that we're not lost. We're not confused. We don't need somebody to tell us that here's your new identity. We're not 20-plus identities. We're one identity. We are never alone. We're obeyers of God. We're recognizers of the triune God. We're the baptized ones. We are disciples and disciple makers. And we've been authorized by God the Father to go out on his behalf. Because we've been talking about this. We have the ministry of reconciliation. We're authorized. We're all government people in here. We're all government agents. We're supposed to go out on behalf of God the Father. And so our identity is all tied in this back into emulating Jesus and what he told us to do. His commandments to go out and baptize and be baptized ourselves. And so my question for us is right now, if someone were to identify you, if they were going to come up and say, you're this person, would they identify you as a disciple of Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit? Or would they identify you as, well, they're just Dan that lives on, you know, lives at 2901 Sunset Circle. He's a white guy from the Midwest and husky little guy and, you know, and just, you know, I don't know, you can name it in Baldy, you know, whatever it is, you name it. Or are they going to identify you as, whoa, that's Kathy, man, she's a disciple maker, man, she's full of the Spirit. Whoa, that's Jonathan, he's got some awesome hair today, but man, this kid loves Jesus. Man, he preaches the word, he tells his friends at school about Jesus and that the Holy Spirit is real and redeeming. If people were to identify you today, would they identify you as something else? Whatever it is, money, sexuality, education, you name it, you insert that. Or would they insert that this is a disciple of Jesus? Their identity is one of these. Man, they know Jesus. They're a son of God. They're a disciple of Jesus. We are called to be mentored by Jesus, our supreme rabbi. And our supreme rabbi, Jesus, he said, you need to follow me. Pick up your cross, follow me. Do what I do. And part of that is water baptism and going out baptizing others. We talked about last week of how Barna's survey of how the new generation, they're very concerned about not making someone upset, right? They feel that if Roxanne would get upset at me, then I did something wrong to upset her. And if I made her upset, then that's not good. So I better not tell her about Jesus because she's going to get upset about Jesus because Roxanne doesn't serve Jesus. So I'm not even going to do that. I'm not even going to try to tell her about being a disciple and baptist. I'm not even going to do that. There's a lot of drift away from Jesus' commands. And then we've seen it in the church, well, man, baptism, well, that's old school. That's fuddy-duddy. Let's get into the new, cool, hip stuff. Or I've heard churches in the evangelical world talk about this. Well, we're not going to say Jesus' name. Have you heard that? The seeker-sensitive church? I remember when this was going and being pushed when I was in college. Oh, you don't really want to mention Jesus at the church. You want to bring him in, have some good music. And there were churches across all denominations thinking, oh, yeah, let's just make it very kind of plain. God, forgive us for not identifying with Jesus, for identifying with some type of pastoral church growth seminar thing, or identifying with anything else other than Jesus and his death, burial, resurrection through the symbolic act of water baptism and all the things he commanded us to do. I want to close with this. Just as the Holy Spirit was present at the baptism of Jesus, confirming his identity, so also is the Spirit present at our baptism, confirming our identity as his disciple. Church, today I want to encourage you, do not be confused about your identity. We should not have any identity confusion people in the body of God, because we are his sons and daughters. Now, you may struggle, God, what's my purpose? God, where are you taking me? Hey, I'm going through a hard season. Well, you name it, you know. God, what's the purpose in this? But church, our identities are in him. We're not confused about how we're made, male and female, in his image, his commands. We're not confused by any of that. We know that the Spirit is there. When you've been baptized, the Spirit came and lived inside of you. And I'd encourage you today, if you're not baptized in this service, you can actually, there's water in a tank and it's hot. You can be baptized today or next Sunday. But if you haven't been baptized, I encourage you to follow in that footstep of Jesus and be baptized and let the Holy Spirit come upon you in a new way, in a fresh way. I want to end with this verse again. We read Romans 6:35, but let me read it again and put it in a little different light. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Has anybody ever been a little dead in here? Can anybody die a little bit? You know, I mean, yeah, I mean, maybe if you've got kids and you're working, yeah, you get sleep deprived and you feel like you're dead and you're walking around like a zombie. But can anybody be a little dead and be fully alive? The answer is no. The answer is no. You're either graveyard dead, or you're alive. Now, you may not be healthy and active, but you're alive. You got a heartbeat and a pulse and all that, right? Paul writes to the church here, and he says, and he's encouraging them, and I want to just throw, I submit humbly to you, that you got to be all in for death. Water baptism is a symbolic act, but church, we got to be all in. You got to be all in for death. Now, that's not the fun, that's not the way to grow the church, and that's not the happy-go-lucky, woohoo, church is awesome, Jesus, yeah. Death. But church, we are called, part of our identity is to die. But we don't get to stay there, right? Let's keep reading on. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. The Apostle Peter said what? He said, Lord, he said, wash all of me. And church, for you to live in that newness of life, you just can't get a little bit wet. You know, you just can't put half your arm and get it wet and be like, oh, that's enough, Jesus. I'm good. I'm going to keep. You got to be, man, put the goggles on. It's like that little kid at the edge of the pool, the first when the pool opens. Get that little five-year-old kid. I was one of those kids. Put your goggles on and, man, I'm doing I'm going to jump in, hold my nose and do the plunge and get submerged. Church, you need to dive into the water of death. And then let God bring you out into the fullness of new life, right? How many of us, how many Christians we know that, man, they dip their finger into the water, but they don't die. Man, they keep the old life, they keep it on life support, and they try to grip two worlds. But can I encourage you today that if you want freedom in life, you want God to work in your situation, man, die. Die to yourself. Jump into the waters. There's a few Christian songs out right now talking about jumping into the water. Jump into the water and be renewed and come to new life in him. Let's finish reading here. And it says, for if we have been united with him in death, like his, so we have no option. Our identities have to die first to be given a new identity. Our earthly, our fleshly, carnal, whatever you want to put it, has to die first for us to get this new identity. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And this is the beauty about water baptism. Yes, we all know it's a symbolic act. It doesn't save us. But it symbolizes the death, burial, and us coming back to life and the resurrection. And church, when we should be happy to baptize people. Wherever we're at, we should be happy that we get to be baptized and show the world that, man, we have a new life. And we're following the commands of Christ. Our identities are anchored in the act of baptism. There is no need for identity drift in the life of the believer. I know I've been saying that, but I just feel this week in my spirit that we need to really hammer down on this. Many of you are already there. This isn't new teaching. But I hope it reinvigorates you not to let your identity in this world, with everything going on in our country, with all the sadness and violence and just economic stuff, and all the things that are going on, don't let your identity drift away from who God says we are and what we are called to die to ourselves. It sounds counterintuitive to the world to die, to find new life. But we are called to die. But we are also called in the death that we will come to new life in him. How many of you today in here have raised your hand and said, I've been baptized? You said you've been baptized. All right. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Good. If you want to be baptized today, we're going to end service. I'm going to pray. And if you want to be baptized, you can come on up. And we've got towels. You can be baptized. But if not, next week, I'd encourage you, get baptized. Now, I will say this. Sometimes I get asked, Pastor Dan, can I get baptized again? Is it commanded in Scripture? Well, no, but I would encourage you, if you feel like you need to get baptized again, get baptized again. I've baptized some adults that they were baptized when they were little. They walked away from Jesus, and they came back to Christ as an adult, and they said, man, Pastor Dan, I lived a life of away from Christ for many years. I just need to be baptized again. Is that wrong, or can I do that? I said, no, it's not wrong. Man, Christ looks at our heart, and it's an act of submission and surrender, baptism is. And so if you've been baptized maybe years ago and you feel like, man, I just want to get baptized again, that's okay. All right? It's okay. We can do that again. So I'm going to encourage you, if you want to do that, you can do that. But today, go home with this, that we have new life, that our identities are secured, and that when we die to ourselves, Jesus brings new life to us in every area. So whatever you're struggling with today, whether it's in your finances, your sexuality, your marriage, your vocation, your thought life, whatever it is, man, submit that to the waters of baptism. Submit yourself to those waters. Man, smother that thing. Get it all wet. Drown that thing. And let Jesus resurrect a new life, an identity in him. So let's pray, church, as we go here today. Jesus, we come before you and we say thank you that you came and you lived a perfect life, that you died for us and you rose again to give us new life. Jesus, thank you for the act of water baptism. And I pray that every one of us would go out and make disciples, baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus, I pray today that every one of us, by the power of the Spirit, that we would submit everything to you, that we would dunk every sin, every hindrance in our life, that we would submit it to the waters and let it die. And Jesus, let you raise us to new life. God, I pray for everything that we're struggling, every storm we're facing. God, I pray that you would speak by your authority. And I pray that, God, we would surrender and submit everything to you. And that, God, we would live lives of holiness before you and unto you. God, I pray that for those that are going to be baptized, for our children, for the youth here today, and in the nursery and kids' point, that, God, they would take those steps one day to be baptized and to go public and say, I'm going to follow Jesus in the death, burial, and the resurrection to new life that is in Christ. God, thank you that our identities are secured, that we are sons and daughters of the King, and that the Spirit is our guarantor of our inheritance, of our salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. And I pray that we would follow you in all areas and that we would die to ourselves so that, Jesus, you would be lifted up and that your name would be praised in Sioux City, on the west side, on the east side, on the north side, in every church, every job, every marketplace. Jesus, your name would be lifted up by our lives of submission and willing to kill everything, God, that lifts itself above you in your name and your power. Thank you, God, for everyone here. God, we pray that you go with us and your presence go with us as we go out. Keep us safe today, Jesus. God, thank you for Memorial Day, God, and all those that have served. Thank you, God, for giving us freedom. Thank you for the men and women that have served us, God, and served our country. God, thank you for your mercy. God, we just pray as we end today. God, we praise you. We say thank you, God. We started with praise and we end with praise. God, you've done it all. God, everything is from you and through you and to you. And so we say, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for ultimate freedom. Thank you for freedom here in this country. I mean, God, we pray you'd have mercy on everything in this nation, Jesus. In your name, good name, we pray. Amen and amen.